Last week we were in Matthew chapter 23, and you know, we see how the separation is about to begin. We see the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, starting to separate the sheep from the goats. Okay? And we see that. And we're starting to see we saw the false pastors, the false teachers, the false religions. We see that there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. So we talked about the importance to, you know, tithing to God, not like, oh, you know, throwing the scriptures in there as a pastor, Malachi 3, robbing people and saying, oh, you got to pay your way to get in. We talked about that. Jesus talked about that. Den of thieves, crooks, liars. Don't go to a church that constantly asks for your money, because it's not about money. Listen, believers, we talked about that because Jesus talked about it. And Jesus lamented over Jerusalem. And we're coming now to the part where, you know, we talked last week about the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of the righteous, Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of the Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Surely I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Father, we come before you. We ask your name, Lord. Holy Spirit, aid this study. In Jesus' name, go before us. Amen. Listen, here's where we talked about Jesus. He lamented over Jerusalem. In Hebrew, it's Yerushalayim. And he, in verse 37 last week, we talked about this. It said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and her stones and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to be desolate, for I say to you, you shall see me no more until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that radical? Because here the choices were given to the Hebrews, the Jews, and they kindly said no thank you, in Hebrew, lo todah. And the Gentiles, the Christians, began to inherit now. Everyone is able to inherit, but they began to inherit the promise of eternal salvation, which is still available to, Etz Israel and the Hebrews and the Jews. It's available. Jesus Christ is still available today. It wasn't like he said, oh, you rotten people, whip them. They don't want me. He gathered over Jerusalem and actually wept because he loves Israel. He loves the tribes. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. He was from the priestly tribe. He was from, if you go to Matthew chapter 1, it shows the genealogy, and then it picks it up in Ruth chapter 3, or the last chapter, and it continues from Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy to Ruth. And so we see the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the proof that he is of the priestly lineage, and he's more than a priest. He is now born of a Virgin Mary. And God gave Mary this beautiful son, Jesus Christ, to shed his blood for the remissions of our sins. And it's so amazing because when you're filled with God's love and mercy, you begin to say, wow, isn't this amazing? This is the whole key to following Christ. And I've learned through years and years, through trials and errors, that really getting caught up in the last chapter that the Lord preached on, it's not very smart, because getting caught in the politics of the body of Christ, the church, it's not our place. And so God says, look, let me separate the sheep from the goats. Let me separate the wheat from the tares, and let me be God, and let you guys just follow me, and let me guide you into a loving relationship with my son, Jesus Christ. Because Jude talks about complainers. And the book of Judas says the complainers, they're always complaining and complaining and complaining. Like Hebrews, sometimes in the past, they told Moses, come on, we don't want any more of this. You know, they wanted to eat. They got tired of the manna. And the manna, they were wandering through, you know, the wilderness for years. And they were, God, Moses is saying, I'm going to take you to the promised land. Don't worry about it. And boy, they were really hungry and tired of that bread, you know, the pita bread. And, it, you know, God made it rain quail. Basically, rained down quail. And they got tired of the chicken, man, the quail. We don't want this anymore. Complain, 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 what it is to be a complainer. And I'm guilty. You know, as a believer, I've complained for many years until God told me, look, you're only going to become like a lemon tree, or you can become like a sweet-smelling, loving aroma strawberry patch, or whatever is sweet to God is what we need to be, man. Amen? Listen, guys, grab your Bibles this morning, or this evening, or in the middle of the night, whatever country you're in. And turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 24. Because in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37 on down, it says in verse 39, for I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Here we see the signs. The temple is going to be destroyed. The temple to be destroyed. And the temple was a very, very evidently, you know, the first temple was built by Solomon, but was destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC. Now, the second temple was built under the encouragement of Haggai and Zechariah. And then the leadership of Zerubbabel and Joshua in Haggai chapter 1, you can see it. It was completed after the considerable delay in 516 BC. Now listen, this second temple was completely and lavishly renovated by Herod the Great. Sometimes I often, you know, in the past, I'd go into Herod the Great's cave. And in the summer in Israel, it gets hot. And so I'd go into the cave and I'd cool down. And it was like, it's like 100 and something degrees out here in Israel. And then you're feeling like, wow, let's go to Herod's cave. Yeah, you guys go to Israel. It's beautiful. You'll love it. And so, you know, I'd go in there and cool down. But Herod the Great, okay, so he basically began the work around 20 BC. But the renovations were not completed during the lifetime of Christ. You could see it in John chapter 2, verse 20. And so the work was finally finished in AD 64. And the temple stood completed for only 6 years before it was reduced to rubble by the Romans. Boom. And the devastation of the temple by the Romans in AD 70 was through that, the precise location of the sanctuary is right now today still unknown. So, the Lord Jesus now is saying to the disciples in chapter 24, verse 1, and he says, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And by the way, the temple is still destroyed to this day, and we're trying to build a third temple. And when that happens, that's going to be an all-out, whoo, God's coming back. So that's one. Well, I'm not going to put a price on God's timing when he comes, but those are the signs of his return. And that's what we're going to get into, church. I'm excited. I'm sorry, man. But and his disciples came up to show him the building of the temple. And verse 2 says, and Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Surely I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Listen, believers, Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's undoubtedly, his disciples were confused by the Lord's prophecy. But the Kidron Valley in Israel, right there by Mount Olives, when Jesus sat there, as he did, as the Jewish teachers did, the disciples finally questioned him about the statement regarding the destruction of the temple. And they said, some say that this verse is like really confusing, but it's not. Listen, They wanted the sign of the coming of the age. And this is where we're going this morning, believers, church, note takers. This is very, very important because this is what our lives are to be really, really focusing on his return. Okay? Because the disciples are coming up to him and Jesus is explaining to them. It's in Isaiah chapter 66, 7 through 15. It says, before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers the son. Listen to this, believers. Whoever heard of such things, whoever seen these things like this, can a country be born in the day or a nation be brought out forth a moment? Yet the no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. Do I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Do I close up the womb when I bring delivery, says the Lord God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice greatly for her, all you who mourn over her, for you will nurse and be satisfied. For her comforting breaths, you will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. Listen, God's lining it up. It's radical. You guys got to read this. The Lord is coming, verse 15, with fire, and his chariots are like a whirlwind. He will bring down his anger with fury and his rebuke with the flames of fire. And you're thinking, oh no, another burn message. No, he's going to come and judge. That's why I don't judge people. I try not to. Okay? But he's coming. And so now these disciples are asking, what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? Jesus is saying, look, I'm coming in stages like a ladder. Believers, listen, I'm coming like a ladder. Imagine you're on a construction site and you're getting on a ladder and you're stepping up. Okay? Something happens. Somebody dropped a paint bucket. Okay, listen. These are signs. And what will be the... No, listen to this. Verse 3 says, he says in verse 2, and Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? And surely I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another. That shall not be thrown down. And verse 3 says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and at the end of the age of the world? The tribulation. Mark chapter 13, verse 5. Luke chapter 21, 5 through 24. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one may deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. What's going on now? The kingdom against kingdom. What's going on now? And there will be famines, pestilence. Dude, we have so many pestilence. Have you seen the news lately? Fungus, uncontrollable fungus, like never seen before. There's actually, are you ready for this? There's actually modern day leprosy they found in Florida. Yeah, leprosy. It's back in. Earthquakes, wake up in California. It's every day. But it's in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Those are the sorrows, believers. The birth pains. Like it says here in Isaiah 66, before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers the son, Jesus. Who has ever heard of such things? Who has ever seen like things like this? Can a country be born in a day or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Believers, Jesus Christ is coming back. These are the signs. Nasty teachers. Says it. They will deceive me. They will deceive you. For many will come in my name saying I am the Christ. And they will deceive many. And you will hear of wars. Look at all these churches. I'm not bagging on them. Believers, listen. They have strobe lights, fog. Come on in. It's fog and strobe lights, purple greeters and weird stuff. Dude, come together. Teach God's word. Teach the truth. Quit talking about summaries of topics and topics of summaries and regurgitating commentary. Let the Holy Spirit guide you, pastors. Pray. Know your stuff, but pray. And let the Holy Spirit in. Quit tickling the ears of the believers and leading them astray. They need to get fed. They're hungry. Believers are hungry. They're thirsty. But you want to put up these weird events on happiness. Happiness. Let me entertain you with a movie and a show. Verse 9 says, and they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Yes, believers, we're going to suffer. Christ said that we will suffer. And then many will be offended. Many will be offended over it. And they will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up, like we see in some of these churches, not all of them. I'm not characterizing the whole body of Christ. And they will deceive many. And because the lawlessness will abound, we see it. We see it outside the riots. Look at all the riots. The love of many will grow cold. We see the coldness in people's hearts. We see the horrible coldness of false pastors and false leaderships and false governments. Yeah, I can say that because I'm not a 501c3. I don't ask for money here. I don't want your donation. Give it to the homeless. But he who endures to the end shall be saved, Jesus says. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Believers, you're seeing it. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then the end will come. It's the first part of Daniel's 17th week in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. But it's a generation. It's basically, this is the present age. This is what's going on. We see it. There, it's literally means the sorrow, the birth pains. The earth continually has birth pains, okay, today. Look at Romans chapter 8. But during the tribulations, these sorrows will increase and intensely be, and frequently, basically, these sorrows will increase and intensify in the frequency until Jesus returns in glory. And that's what it says in Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Check out the sermon. I preached on it. It's the gospel. It's the end times. We see it. We see the abomination of desolation coming. It's the prophecy from Daniel. Chapter 9, 27, 11, 31, 12, 11, Daniel 11, chapter 31. It refers to the Antichrist who desecrated the temple and set up the idol of Zeus. It's all there. It's the foundations and the truth is here. The Euphrates rivers is drying up. The Bible says when that dries up, God's going to release some nasty angels to get one third of the... He's going to get some... They're going to start judging. Oh, I love it. I'm so excited. You're scaring me. No, I love you guys. The Bible's not a scare tactic to get your money. You know, Revelation is actually a love letter. Yeah, John wrote it on the island of Patmos. And he's in love with you guys. You guys understand how much Jesus loves you. Do you know that he loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son? You're thinking, wow. Can you imagine? The hearts will grow cold. Dude, are we there now? Open up 1 John and read it. You know, the Bible is very clear. I don't even have to read my Bible right now to tell you this, but I'll go to it. I mean, it says the test of knowing if you really love God is loving one another. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, I can't do it. Well, nobody can. We're sinners. But we have God's grace if we don't habitually sin. Habitually meaning you're trying to ask God for forgiveness over and over and over and over and over. Yeah, that's a struggle and you need a deliverance. Here we see the wars of rumors of war. They're there. But the end, it will not come yet. It says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Verse 16, Matthew chapter 24, verse 16. Then let those who are in Judah or Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down and take anything out of his house. I really believe, listen to this, mysterious Babylon. I think that's what you see today in America. You're thinking, how's that? Well, you can see Revelation 18 says, come out of her. This mysterious Babylon, one day it's going to be casted into darkness. Lights out. 1 hour. Probably an EMP. Who knows? We don't know. But God knows there won't be trading the merchants and the sea freight. You know, it's all going to happen. Believers, Revelation, it's going to happen. It's going to be crazy. The days are going to be shortened. God will place a limit on the tribulation. Christians will not even have to endure persecution forever because Christ is going to come back. The rapture is going to happen. I believe in it. You see, believers, God is in love with you. Here he's saying, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who is on the housetop not go down and take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. It's going to happen quick. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for there will be great tribulation such as not ever been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall ever be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be saved. But for those elect sakes, those days will be shortened. Wow. Wow. Then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, for there he is, don't believe it. Believers, listen, there might be a great war coming. Ezekiel 38 talks about it. 39. You're looking at Magog. You're looking at Persia. You're looking at certain elements in the future. You're seeing lining up of you know, you have vast, rapid weaponry where they're sophisticated weapons. We don't know, but we know that God's in control, and we know that we don't have to worry because God loves us, and we don't have to scare people into the arms of Jesus. We just got to be ourselves and love others and try to serve others the best that we can, believers. Sorry about the chair I kicked over. God is in love with you guys, and he wants to show you great things. But listen to verse 13. It says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. We have to occupy. We got to occupy until the Lord comes back and be ready in season and out, believers. Verse 23 talks about if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. Listen, for false Christs and false prophets will rise up and show great signs and wonders and deceive. You see, if possible, even the elect. See that I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out there. Look, he's in the inner rooms, don't believe it. Believers, listen. That's why I hit hard on these false churches. Because they lead people astray. They lead people into thinking another message. You got these women on pulpits that they're not even supposed to be on pulpits. They're not called to preach. It says it everywhere. I'll probably get a million emails after this, but I don't care. Look, believers, you have to understand that in the end, Satan's going to try to deceive you. And I'm not crushing churches. It's the teaching. You need to be very careful of what pastor you're listening to. Because if they're talking about themselves, talking about other events and not the Bible, talking about happy, feely, make you feel good message, and they're not reading verse by verse, the Holy Spirit's not really using them. It's just words. Because Jesus said, in the beginning was the Word in Matt and John, and the Word was God. Okay? And so we got to teach as pastors the Word. Not silly, playful, funny events to make you smile. Because you're not going to know the Word. When Christ comes back, some people will miss the mark if you don't know what's going on. Because you begin to live a life that makes you happy instead of what Christ wants you to do. Obedience. Jesus says, I desire obedience. And a lot of people don't understand because I get it all the time. They're like, Pastor, I don't know what you're saying. It's because they're taught happy, happy, you know, pet the feet and pet the head and you know, and let me make crack jokes on the pulpit. And yeah, you can. It's cool. Yeah, but teach God's word. And then they venture away from God's word. And that's when they don't know that when a trial comes, they panic. And they don't know what to do. I was talking to a person just the other day. And they never get taught the word of God. They go to church and they never get taught. When you accept Christ, and here's another thing, and we'll move on. A lot of pastors, they don't, when they give an altar call, they don't actually give altar calls. Close your head with your eyes bowed, head down. I believe that you're God, Jesus, and amen. Dude, you got to come to the front of the aisle. You got to put your hand up and receive. Even Satan received, even Satan believed in Jesus, but he would never receive him as his Lord and personal Savior. So believers, we got to say, I receive you. But at the same time, here's where all, mostly 99% pastors are off. And this is it. Ready? When you accept Jesus Christ, you must tell the believers or the non-believers that when you receive Jesus, you're also getting a free gift. Not a box of chocolates. Not a gift card for your local entertainment store or your entertainment movie theater. You get a free gift of the Holy Spirit. You say, Lord Jesus is in you now. But also he has characteristics that talks about it in John chapter 14, his Holy Spirit. And listen, believer, now that you're saved, Satan's going to come after you, eat you, and try to destroy you and take you back to your old ways. Then you become injured, church injured, and you, when it does happen, you panic, freak out, and you'll usually go back to your old life because you've never actually been, you've received him, yes, but you've never received the promise of the Holy Spirit. You've never been told. This is what I see. We must teach that the Holy Spirit can indwell in us when we receive Jesus Christ because we must depend on the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going away now when he left. And he said, where are you going, Lord? Where are you going? Can we come with you? When are you coming back? Jesus said, no one knows the hour or the time. Not even me. Well, not like that, but not even the angels. And basically, what I'm saying is, he said, the next verse goes on and he says, I've left you my Holy Spirit to teach you, to comfort you, to guide you, to hold you, love you, show you, grow you, mold you into my image. It's my third characteristics of the Holy Spirit, of the Trinity. Believers, don't give up. Receive the Holy Spirit when you receive Jesus. When you receive Jesus, know that he's in you and he'll never leave you. Father, we come before you. Wow, Lord, what a radical sermon that you preached. Father, we know that the tribulation in those days, the sun is going to be darkened and the moon's going to not give light and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken, Lord. Then the sign Father of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth, Lord, will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man, Father, coming in the clouds of heaven with the power of the great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, Father. And we thank you for that, Jesus. Oh, what a radical, radical time. Thank you, Jesus. Father, now we just pray. We thank you, Lord. And we ask that if anyone doesn't have your Holy Spirit, Lord, that they've never accepted you, Jesus, as your Lord and personal Savior, we ask that they do it now, Father. We ask that they say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, Father. I know I'm a sinner, and I can't do it on my own. I want to repent of all my sins, Father, and I want to take up my own cross, Lord. I want to follow you, Lord. I want to invite you in my heart. I want to accept you, Lord Jesus. I receive you, Jesus, but I know that you have a Holy Spirit that you talk about as one of your characters, and I want to receive your Holy Spirit now, Father, so that it can the Holy Spirit can teach me, love me, correct me, rebuke me, and just love me and show me this radical life that you've given me for your glory, Jesus. We ask this in your name. Amen. Listen, God bless you guys, and thank you for growing in his word. Next week, we're going to be talking about some radical stuff with the second coming, the parable of the fig tree. We're going to talk about the illustrations of the days of Noah, and I don't think we'll make it any much further than the two servants, but the Lord is awesome. Have a beautiful week, and keep praying for the peace in Israel, and pray for the love. The love will grow so much deep in your life that you could give it out for free. God bless you guys.